What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if people claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accomplished by action, is dead. Here ends the reading of James. Thanks be to God. The message for this evening, come on in, Naveen. The message for this evening is have faith in the healing Lord. And I will be reading the gospel as an introduction to the sermon. Before we begin, just a short prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The text that I decided to use for the sermon is from Mark 7, and the verses 24 to 36. I'll be reading from the New International Version. It's on page 955 in your pew Bibles. 955, and this is the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, the verses 24 to 37. The first part is entitled The Faith of a Syrophoenician Woman. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his present secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria, Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. We will be focusing on this passage in the sermon, but I want to continue with the scripture here at this point where Jesus heals a deaf and mute man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which is from the Aramaic and means be opened, even if I've probably mispronounced it. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So ends the reading of the gospel. Thanks be to God. The first thing that many people think when they hear this passage is, wow, Jesus is really being mean, isn't he? I mean, here's this woman coming and asking him something, and he's calling the woman a dog. Isn't he discriminating against her just because she's a Greek and not a Jew? Now, this story is so important that it's not only in the Gospel according to Mark. We also find the story in the Gospel according to Matthew. There it's in chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. The story there is a little bit longer one. Matthew tells about the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, there's this bothersome woman. She's from Canaan. She's not a Jew. And she keeps crying out for him. And wouldn't Jesus just kind of make her stop? No? And Jesus is just not answering her. Can't he chase her away then, if he's not going to speak to her? Jesus replies, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But as in the story in Mark, she kneels down to him, and they have this same discussion about the crumbs for the dogs. So let's have a look at the circumstances of this event. Jesus and his disciples have gone to Tyre. This is a town which is on the Mediterranean coast, and it's a good ways away from the other places where Jesus has worked. In those days, you couldn't just get on a train or drive a car. It was a long walk to get to Tyre. They had had a long and grueling time behind them, and Jesus wanted to have a retreat with his disciples. They wanted to pull back and have some time for themselves. He wanted to minister to his disciples. Now, you might want to say they're on vacation, and in a way, this is true. They've gone to the coastal city to get away from the crowds that hound them. And so they tried to keep it quiet that they were there. But someone must have gossiped. Perhaps it was a servant in the place they were staying. The owner of the place, of course, proud and happy that Jesus of Nazareth was staying in his place. I mean, the people knew who Jesus was at that time, especially the woman knew that who Jesus was. And, I mean, this is just the thing to do, you know, to get your tourists to come and say, you can sleep where Jesus slept, you can eat from the plate that Jesus ate from. In any case, this Greek woman, who was born in Syria Phoenicia, or Canaan, today this is what we know as Lebanon, she'd heard about it. Now, they don't have a name for her, as many of the women in the Greek that are mentioned in the Bible don't have. So I decided to call her Sophia, just so that I could give her a name and not keep calling her woman. This name means wisdom in Greek, and I think it's a fitting name for her. Sophia has a sick daughter, and her daughter is possessed by an evil spirit. Now, we're not sure just exactly what this means. The different biblical scholars have thought about whether it means this or that or the other thing. Some say it means suffering from epilepsy, so people who fall on the floor and appear to be shaking for no apparent reason. Others say this could be a syndrome such as Tourette syndrome, in which people constantly utter swear words, or any other kind of sickness like this. I mean, perhaps her daughter was just a particularly rotten teenager, much worse than your normal teen. In any case, she had heard stories about Jesus' healing powers. This stuff travels fast, even without newspapers and TV and internet. And she was determined that her daughter be cured. She loved her daughter. But even more, she has faith. She trusts Jesus. She believes that he can indeed heal her daughter. So Sophia goes to Tyre and plans on finding this Jesus. Now, even in those days, a Greek woman could not go up to a man and speak to him, much less to a foreign man, a Jew. But she seeks Jesus out and won't let herself be shaken off. She wants to see Jesus. When she finally finds him, she falls at his feet and begs him to drive out the evil spirits. He replies with a parable, a very tiny parable. The children are fed first, then the dogs. Now, this is a very interesting parable in that it can be understood in more than one way. For the disciples, they hear him saying, hang on there, we're on vacation, and anyway, I'm ministering to the Jews first. Then the rest of the world can have their turn, but the Jews first. So they will nod their heads, yep, that's our Jesus. Jews are special, we're God's chosen people, we come first. Sophia hears Jesus saying something different when he says first the children and then the dogs. First and foremost, she doesn't hear Jesus saying no. And this is the thing that is really striking. Okay, that's something to go on. He didn't say no, so let's keep going. In a way, he's giving her a test. He's testing her faith in his healing powers. But why is he calling her a dog? When we call a woman a dog, we're saying that she's ugly. And today we often call women she-dogs, bitches, when they don't act the way that men want them to. One writer, Glenn M. Miller, who runs an online site called the Christian Think Tank, made a very interesting note. Now, I don't understand Greek at all, so I have to take his word for it. He says that in the original Greek, for this passage in Mark, Jesus doesn't use the word kion, which is the word Jews would use to speak of people of other faiths. Kion were the semi-wild dogs that sort of ran around and ate all the garbage, and the ones that were outside the city walls would eat the dead bodies that got thrown over the walls. But the word in the scripture is kinarion, and this would be a diminutive, a little dog. And there's an important difference here, a little dog or a puppy. At that time, apparently middle and upper class Greeks had started the custom of keeping inside dogs. These were dogs that didn't go outside. They stayed indoors all day and played with the children. And these were very positive creatures. So when she hears Jesus say, "First, my disciples, then it's your turn," that's okay. He's not saying no. He's saying wait. Sophia, being a Greek woman, probably has an inside dog at home. And as anyone who's ever had an inside dog before knows, they have to be trained to sit still during dinner. Puppies who have not yet been trained will be smelling the food and they'll dance all over the place, trying to get one of those crumbs that is either going to get dropped by accident or on purpose. I know we dropped lots of crumbs on purpose to our inside dogs. So even if they have to wait for that can of dog food or for the rest of the meal, there's going to be a few tidbits that are for them during the meal. And Sophia is determined that one of these tidbits is going to be for her and her daughter. So she replies, "But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now, how can Jesus resist this? This answer to the parable is a very wise thing because she's staying within his analogy. As he's speaking of dogs, she is too. She's staying on the same level with him. And she believes. She has faith that Jesus can save her daughter. She hears there will be a great feeding later on. The dogs will get fed. And the Gospel of John does note this. "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So Jesus replies to her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So Sophia has got what she came for, Jesus' healing. And her faith is so great, she doesn't demand that Jesus return home with her and lay hands on her daughter. As in some of the other healing situations that we have in the Bible, Jesus will touch people. In this case, he's just saying, "Your daughter is healed." And she believes it. She has faith. She is sure that if Jesus says something, then it is true. If he says she's healed, not will be healed sometime in the future, but now, she believes it. She has faith. She trusts in the Lord. I myself was given a chance to apply this logic the week that I was preparing this sermon in Sweden. A neighbor came over, who's a German neighbor, doesn't speak Swedish, but they're selling their house, and they needed someone to be there when the real estate agent came to make sure that they understood everything. I'm on vacation. Yeah, I don't want to work, but whatever. I said yes. And it ended up taking an hour one day and an hour and a half the next. So it was a good bit of work that I ended up doing. And I was interpreting German to Swedish and back, which are both not my native language. So it was kind of really, am I able to do this or not? I was kind of exhausted, but whatever. And I was a little bit irritated because, you know, they didn't even say thank you or anything. They just left. And then I thought, wait a minute, this is sort of similar to the story that I've been thinking about all week for my sermon. Even though Jesus was on vacation, one of his many powers was the power to heal. And he did heal because the woman had faith. The scripture doesn't report that she thanked him, and I'm afraid that this is often the case. In Luke 17, we have Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And they all go dancing off, and only one comes back to say, "Thank you, Lord, that was great." It's his gift to heal, and he does it without complaining. And so my neighbors had faith. They had faith that I was giving a true translation. So I hope I didn't disappoint them. Do we, as a congregation, do we as believers have faith like Sophia did? We ask God for things all the time. Particularly, we ask for healing for us or for loved ones. But often, it doesn't happen right away, and we get irritated. I prayed for it, but it didn't happen. The healing powers of the Lord are not available packed up in little boxes in the supermarket that we can just get when we need them. They're available through prayer and with faith that our prayers will be heard. So we need to learn to listen to Jesus' wait, be patient, and pray. And if we have faith, we too will be fed. We too will hear, will feel the healing power of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us our impatience as we wait for your healing grace. Help us to grow strong in our faith. Help us to pray without ceasing, that we may also experience a healing in you. We now want to lift up to you our prayers for healing, either silently or aloud. And as we hold up our intercessions to you in each spoken prayer, we will respond with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we especially lift up to you today Herbert and Gertrude, who are celebrating 60 years of marriage together. We pray for health for them and pray that they have a great day together with family and friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. If any have other concerns, please speak them as you wish or in silence. Lord, we think of the people killed on Friday in Afghanistan and those that are killed elsewhere in the world in wars. Be with the families and friends of the victims. Teach us to promote peace in the world, not commit acts of war. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick in our congregation. We pray for our friends. We pray that they may find your healing, that they may have faith that you will, maybe not right now, but eventually heal them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these and more, Lord, we lift up to you. In thy name we pray. Amen. We'll now sing hymn 710, Faith of Our Fathers.